Probenzimmer, der Podcast aus dem Musiktheater an der Wien. Heute mit Kai Wessler. Vincenzo Bellinis Oper Norma ist das Thema des heutigen Podcasts und bei der Matinee zu der Oper hatte ich die Gelegenheit, mit dem Dirigenten Francesco Lanzilotta und mit dem Regisseur Wassily Bakatow über dieses Werk zu sprechen. Norma ist eine Ausnahmeoper. Es ist unter den 11 Opern von Vincenzo Bellini die einzige, die gewissermaßen die Zeit überdauert hat. Es gab ja eine lange Zeit, in der man diese Belcanto-Opern, das Repertoire der italienischen Romanticismo vom Beginn des 19. Jahrhunderts, wenig oder gar nicht gespielt hat und Norma war davon nie betroffen. Vincenzo Bellini ist der jüngste der drei Komponisten dieser Ära, Rossini, Donizetti und eben Bellini, 1801 in Catania geboren und ausgebildet am Konservatorium von Neapel. Also er ist der einzige auch dieser italienischen Komponisten, die nicht im Wesentlichen durch Norditalien geprägt sind, sondern durch Süditalien und vielleicht auch die Sinnlichkeit dieses Landstrichs und der neapolitanischen Tradition ihre Prägung hatten. Norma ist die vorletzte seiner Opern und es ist auch ungewöhnlich, dass ein Komponist in dieser Zeit nur 11 Opern geschrieben hat, wenn man bedenkt, dass Donizetti 100 Opern geschrieben hat und dass auch Giuseppe Verdi in seinen frühen Jahren noch quasi Jahr für Jahr Opern produzieren musste, dann merken wir, hier ist ein Künstler am Werk, der sehr sorgfältig und sehr gewissenhaft und sehr individuell an seine Werke rangegangen ist. Die Uraufführung am 26. Dezember 1831 in der Mailänder La Scala war kein Erfolg. Auch das ist nicht ungewöhnlich für diese Zeit. Die Sänger waren ähnlich wie heute in ein enges Probenkorsett eingebunden. Sehr oft waren die Sänger bei der Premiere einfach müde und erschöpft und das hat das Premierenpublikum gemerkt. Und dann ab der zweiten, dritten Vorstellung begann der Erfolg und so war es auch bei Norma. Wir finden in Norma zwei Konflikte, die innerhalb ineinander verschachtelt sind. Also es gibt zwei große Handlungsstränge und der innere Handlungsstrang, der gewissermaßen das Ende des ersten Aktes und den Beginn des zweiten Aktes einnimmt, ist eine Dreiecksgeschichte. Die Oper handelt eigentlich nicht von einer Liebesgeschichte, sondern von einer Trennungsgeschichte, nämlich der zwischen Norma und Pollione. Die beiden sind seit langem ein Paar, sie haben zwei Kinder, die ungefähr 10 Jahre alt sind, aber die beiden stehen in verschiedenen gesellschaftlichen, politischen Lagern. Die Oper spielt in der Zeit der römischen Besatzung von Gallien, wo die Oper in unserer Inszenierung spielen wird. Darüber werden wir gleich noch reden. Aber entscheidend ist, dass diese beiden Menschen, diese beiden Langzeitpartner aus zwei verschiedenen politischen Lagern kommen und ihre Liebe deswegen geheim halten. Auch die beiden Kinder werden versteckt. Das Problem ist nun, dass Pollione sich mittlerweile einer jüngeren Frau zugewandt hat, Adalgisa, und diese Ehekatastrophe platzt gewissermaßen am Ende des ersten Aktes. Es hat beinahe komödiantische Züge, wenn die jüngere Frau der älteren Frau von ihrem Geliebten erzählt und sich herausstellt, beide lieben denselben Mann. Und das hat massive Konsequenzen. Das hat Konsequenzen für alle drei. Und es hat natürlich vor allem Konsequenzen für Norma und ihre beiden Kinder. Da drumherum gebaut ist eine politische Geschichte. Denn Norma ist nicht nur eine Frau aus dem einen eben nicht römischen Lager, sondern sie ist zugleich eine Frau, die innerhalb ihrer Gruppe eine Entscheidungsgewalt hat, die eine Führungsposition innehat, zu der man aufschaut und die vor allem den Konflikt zwischen diesen beiden Gruppen, eine losbrechende Rebellion, seit vielen Jahren verhindert. Sie tut das im Stück dadurch, dass sie sagt, sie alleine weiß, was der Kriegsgott Irminsul will. Auch da gibt's in der Inszenierung von Wassily Bakatow eine Übersetzung. Aber das Entscheidende ist, Norma verhindert den offenen Ausbruch dieses Konfliktes zwischen den beiden Gruppen. Und in dem Moment, wo klar wird, dass sie und Pollione keine gemeinsame Zukunft haben, muss sie sich entscheiden, wie sie reagieren wird. Und diese Handlungsoptionen, also soll sie gegen Adalgisa vorgehen, soll sie sie möglicherweise vernichten, soll sie Pollione strafen, indem sie die gemeinsamen Kinder tötet? Soll sie Pollione vernichten, indem sie endlich zur Rebellion aufruft? Oder errichtet sie Aggression gegen sich selbst? Alle diese Handlungsoptionen werden in der Oper durchgespielt und das nimmt den zweiten Akt ein. Auch darüber werden wir nachher noch sprechen. Bevor wir das tun, reden wir ein bisschen über die Musik, lieber Francesco. Diese Rolle der Norma ist so ein gilt als unglaublich anspruchsvoll. Ich habe vorhin gesagt, der Mount Everest für Soprane. Was macht diese Rolle so schwer? Was macht diese Rolle so fordernd für die Sänger?
Ja, the Norma roles is actually is very difficult for a soprano, but not only the technically, actually. It's very difficult if we have to speak about the interpretation of Norma, because the character is very complex, because there is the theme of the infanticide, there is the theme of love between her and Pollione, there is the theme of the friendship between her and Adalgisa, and there is the theme of the betrayed of her works, of her job, sorry. So all these themes makes this character very, very complex. So that's why in the 2025 we need a singer that think not only to be a great vocalist, just to sing, you know, agility, high notes. Because today I think it's not enough. We really need a great interpreter, and actually we have here. So I'm very lucky. Yeah.
Das ist vielleicht auch einer der Gründe, warum so viele unterschiedliche Sängerinnen diese Rolle gesungen haben. Also Sängerinnen, deren Schwerpunkt eher auf der Koloratur lag, aber auch viele dramatische Sängerinnen.
But I don't think this is the focus for Norma. I think that the focus is to have a singers that really understand which kind of theater Bellini wrote with Felice Romani, the librettista. Because Norma is actually really a revolutionary opera, because try to think about the structure of the opera. We are in the 1831, actually, so in the real period of the melodrama. And the classical melodrama has a structure really, really clear. So in the aria, cavatina, the bridge, the cabaletta, and then duetto, and then concertato finale, il primo atto, just an example. But Bellini destroyed this structure, because he just want to follow the develop of the dramaturgia. So just think about the second part of the second act. There are no arias, and just, I mean, a lot of incredible melodies, of course, that Bellini used to describe what is happening on the stage, and especially starting from In Mia Man Al Fin Tu Sei until the end. Or think about the finale primo. You know, in the melodrama operas, there is always the grande concertato, no? Just think about the opera by Rossini or Donizetti. So, but Bellini doesn't need this great concertato of the finale primo, and so he writes a trio. And terzetto, just in the end of the terzetto there is the coro, but I mean it's not actually so important. So why? It's because he needs this kind of new structure, excuse me for the example, this new structure to explain to us the develop of the dramaturgia. The only one that has a classical aria is Pollione, the first one. So cavatina and cabaletta, okay. But you, because, you know, sometimes we think that the bel canto music in the Italian opera is just for, I mean, melody, beautiful melodies and stuff. But it's really more complex than. Try to sing just for example to the choose of the tonality. So try to think the first duetto between Norman and Adalgisa. They are talking about love, a beautiful love. Adalgisa think about Pollione, and Norma as well. She think about her love, how she was happy with him. So it's kind of beautiful duetto, no? Very, very nice. But the tonality that Bellini choose is F minor. F minor is one of the most dramatic tonality in the history of music. It's the tonality, as I told you yesterday, of the Passion of Christ, no? So why he choose this tonality? Because this duetto is not actually a real happy duetto, but the meaning, the real meaning of this duetto It's the death of Norma and the dramatic situation in between her and between she and Adalgisa at the end of the opera. The tonality becomes a kind of aesthetic indication. No? So Bellini give us some information about how Norma and Adalgisa should sing this duetto. But this is what he does, for example, in Il mio amano al fin tu sei. And he chooses the F major. Is because F major in for Bellini, not only for Bellini, is the tonality of the intimity, the family. So it, Norma is asking to Puglione to come back to her. So that's why Bellini chose this tonality. But then when Puglione say no, I don't want to come back to you, I want to stay with Adalgisa, the tonality changes. So another indication, try to think that Romani and Bellini decided to use a very particular Italian verso. You know, the Italian language is built on the verso ternario, quaternario, until the endecasillabo. Each verso has different characteristic, rhythm characteristic, accent. Even here, when Romani and Bellini choose a verso, it's because this verso is has a kind of some characteristic, and they need this verso to build the develop of the drama. So that's what I told you before. The Italian opera in this period is not so easy as we can think. It's really more complex. And in Norma, the complexity of the opera is really difficult to understand, and really need, I think it's my idea, to study everything about the connection between text and music to really understand this opera.
Es gibt den berühmten Ausdruck von Giuseppe Verdi von den Bellini mit seinen Melodie lunghe, lunghe, lunghe. Sind die Melodien von Bellini wirklich länger? Und was für eine Wirkung erzeugt er mit dieser Länge der Melodien?
In music you can explain everything. You can explain the structure, the develop of the harmony, and there is something that you really can't explain, and this is the Bellini's melody. He was maybe the most great composer for melody, and no one in the history of music, maybe in the Italian history of music, could have write melody as Bellini. And I really don't know why. It's really impossible to explain. It's impossible to explain why do do fa mi fa so fa mi. It's a really easy melody. But why, if Bellini write these four notes are the most beautiful notes ever written in the history of music? I don't know. So really, I don't know. And I mean, I conducted Norma kind of 10 times in my life, but each time that I conduct In Mia Mano al Fin Tu Sei, I start to cry. Why? I really don't know. It's try to sing to the last melody of Norma, De non volerli vittime. Wow, how can you can't cry, hear the incredible music, just tararirara, tararirara. It's really easy, but the melody is so impressive that you can start to don't cry.
Es ist so einfach, mit vielen Mitteln, mit großer harmonischer Komplexität Wirkung zu erzielen. Und es ist so schwer, das mit wenigen Mitteln zu tun. Und man ist immer wieder verblüfft. Ich kann es nicht, Sie haben es gerade ihn singen gehört, mit wie wenigen Mitteln Bellini das macht, mit einer sehr einfachen Begleitung und sehr einfachen Melodien. Lieber Francesco, vielen Dank für das Gespräch. Ja, Vassili, wir kennen diese Konflikte zwischen Galliern und Römern aus Asterix-Heften oder aus unserem Lateinunterricht. Aber natürlich ist das nicht der Ort, an dem die Produktion spielt, denn wir wollen etwas über moderne Menschen erfahren, über wirkliche Menschen. Also, was ist dein Zugang zu diesem Stück? In welche Situation bringst du uns?
First of all, there is no enemies or two nations or Romans, Gauls, Druids or whatever. It's the one country and one Gesellschaft. There's no Romans or others. This is not a story about some exact country, but the audience will notice the some similar things to the historical accidents that humanity went through around in different, but around 100 years ago in different parts of Europe and world, let's say. To be clear, it's not the politically. I mean, this line of the sujet is not the occupation. It's the change of the political regime, which is for me much more scary, because to be controlled by foreigner, it's one thing, but to be controlled by your yesterday neighbor, by your own neighbor, your brother, it's under different circumstances, it's a little bit more scary and more weird. Yeah?
Aber wie erzählt man einen politischen Systemwechsel?
We have a set which is like a ceramic factory, and by the architecture you can see it's a little bit related to the religion, but not as a church, but let's say kind of ceramic factory related to Vatican or some other beautiful, full of churches place. And before the overture, we see that they are the workers, the ladies, they are producing the beautiful statues, different one, like St. John, some angels, Madonna, like not really icons, not the religious, not for the churches, but as a kind of... and also there is a Greek Lacaon, the head on the top. So they're doing different beautiful statues from Renaissance, from related to religion or not.
But as art, not as religious artifacts.
Yeah, as art. Yeah, and then suddenly the group of riots, the revolutionary crowd, enters, crash the statues. And explain to the ladies that the life changes, and then curtain goes down, and when we open it, and they do have this, this crowd are coming with the portraits of their leader, the flags and the portrait of their leader, and when we open the curtain next time, after the overture, we see that this ceramic factory produce only the busts of this new dictator, of the new leader. That's is quite obvious to see the change of the regime.
Vasili, wenn wir an diese Bilder denken, es geht also gar nicht so sehr um religiöse Überzeugungen, sondern es geht um zwei Welten. Es gibt eine bürgerliche Welt, in der Kunst eine Rolle spielt, und eine neue Zeit, in der alle sehr ausgerichtet sind auf diesen politischen Führer. Also wenn wir an Norma denken, dann haben wir fast eine übergroße Figur für uns und gerade auch dieser Mythos, den die Rolle umgibt. Wie erzählst du die Geschichte und was ist die Tragik von Normas Situation?
The main tragic of her situation is that the rules at the and the values that she put on herself and thinks that whole her society follow the same rules, became her personal curse, because she, as I always say, she's a in this society, she's like Brunhilde in the operetta of Kalman, you know? Because her personal rules and the values are much higher than the values of society around. And she is, actually, her tragic is that she is the only person who follows this laws, values and rules.
Da kann man sagen, es ist ein archaisches Festhalten an Werten.
If once you were engaged in the face of God, or just even without God, if my moral principles telling me that I can't abandon my children, my wife, I should live with this. But on the same, but may the modern society will look at me as I'm a little bit crazy. Why not? Okay, it's happened. You're in love with another person. Children will grow up and understand everything. But Norma is not that kind. Her society, Polione, and even her own people can accept it, but she not. And on the other hand, important things to think, to understand her character, is that she, for almost 10 years, she was hiding her own, not only relations, but her own children from society. She lived as a like atomic submarine, you know, for 10 years alone in the ocean, hiding everything inside. And also the lie that she lives in the permanent lie to everybody, to her children, to Clotilde, and first to her society. Yeah. And that in the original libretto, of course, we understand why she's lying and hiding, because first of all, she's a priest and she cannot have children by the religious rank. And the second, because Polione is the enemy. But here, as soon as she became a kind of a leader of her small community of this in this factory, under the political regime that they want one day to change, she was not. Let's say it's a very human being situation when I didn't open the secret in the very first day, because I hadn't found the right moment, or I was too confused, too shy, or whatever. And then after a year, it's much more difficult to open the truth. And then the snowball is growing, and then in 5 years you say, okay, so how can I come to my people who listen to me and say, sorry, for 5 years I had the children from our big evil boss? And so she thinks that that community, her people, will not accept it. But as we see at the end of our production, they can accept it. They even don't care. They care only that she was lying to them. Yeah, and it means all the directions and all the advices she gave to them last 10 years, everything was lie, only in purpose to save her own family, children, and relations with the Polione. So at the end, the biggest tragedy for them is not that she's having children from Polione, but that she betrayed them, they realized that all these 10 years she didn't care about them. She cared only about her own private situation. And in this, and all her advices was only to save her private situation, but not really to help her own people.
Wir müssen noch kurz über die Religion reden, denn den Kult des Irmin Sul, von dem ich ehrlich gesagt auch nicht sehr viel weiß, Felice Romani wusste deutlich mehr darüber, den wird es auf der Bühne nicht geben, aber Religion spielt eine Rolle.
Yeah, the religion of these people, of this Norma's community, their religion is the past they lost. So the icons that they will worship, let's say, will be the memorial of this beautiful, nice past pre-revolutional life. Yeah, which we know that sometimes we build the memorials in the place which are not, it's not only the church. Yeah, it could be a place of catastrophe. Yeah, like on the place of ruined building, or the memorial could be the place we know they are all, how to say, the memorials are never happened on the on the good places, let's say. Yeah, memorial is always connected to, or yeah, to tragedy. Yeah, the tragedy is not big or small. So that's why their religion and their memorial is the arrest of things which they saved from this past life.
Gibt es überhaupt eine Möglichkeit des Widerstandes? Glaubst du daran, dass man dieses System verändern könnte, oder müsste man es anders verändern, als diese Menschen das tun würden?
Like the society here in this piece, they are going through the same process as any society under such a under dictatorship, yeah, it's like resist or not resist. That is the question of that people. Because in the second act, there is a wonderful choir when we wait for Oroveso, who speaks to Polione in his office, let's say, and should bring to Oroveso should bring to his community some news about the future, what's going on, and they are during this, you know, because the when you wait, the Erwartung is the most terrible when you have no news. It's the most terrible moment when you don't know how bad is our situation or how good is our situation, because you need to feed your brain with at least some news, but in complete vacuum you start to, okay, now we fight back, oh no, they will kill us all, no, we should pretend continue to do this busts of our leader and pretend and wait for the better, and then again, like, no, we should fight right now, and I think this parabola is very common to the society and the dictatorship, because you want and you afraid on the same time. Yeah.
Das war unser Podcast zu Vincenzo Bellinis Norma im Musiktheater an der Wien. Unser nächster Podcast Probenzimmer handelt von dem Musical Briefe von Ruth, und mein Kollege Christian Schröder wird Sie dann begrüßen.